Hello and welcome to season 5 of the Point 99 podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Steve, and this is episode 5. Before we get going, I just want to say I honestly believe I've got an absolute belter of a guest interview lined up for you today. I'm so tempted just to play it right away. I want you to hear it that much. And I would if I thought that you'd all stick around for the shout outs and such afterwards. But you know how much I want to shine a spotlight on everyone throughout the wider community to show the love, respect, and generally raise everyone up at the end of a very hard week of graft, whether you're working or if you're like Uncle Lee, just taking it easy, doing a 30K, you know, nothing major there. Before any of the shout outs though, if you're joining me for the very first time today, a quick intro into what the Point 99 podcast is. Not that the name gives it away immediately, but we're a running podcast for all runners of all abilities, but especially the everyday runners out there. The purpose of the 99 is to try and help everyone along whatever path their journey is taking. That might be through relatable guests like we have today, their awesome stories, shared experiences, or lessons that we've all learned during our own journeys. The 99's biggest goal is to demonstrate that we are all more alike than we sometimes think that we are, and that by shared conversations, we can all improve as runners as well as all around people. I'm not going to go into it in too much depth this week, but before the bones of the episode, all I'm going to say is that the competition is now officially closed. You'll see and hear a lot more on the socials about it this week and in the next episode. So fingers crossed for everyone that entered, whether that was one entry, two entries, or three entries. The live draw will take place in the next couple of days, and then we will also announce who the winner is in next week's episode. So stay tuned for the winning results. The past week and a bit, or since I last recorded, has been a bit of a bumpy ride for me. It's been filled with plenty of highs, seeing and hearing how much everyone loved hearing Stuart's episode. Personally, I feel that the season so far as a whole has been a lot more relaxed than some of the previous seasons as a solo host, but having guests who I feel I can connect with on a more personal level has definitely helped a lot. On the flip side, my day job, or at least the role that I'm temporarily doing, has suddenly got a lot busier. All I'll say is that I've felt the impact of the Prime Minister setting the date for the next UK general election. Not many of you know what I do. I'm not going to elaborate on it, but it's certainly making me a busy man right now. That being said, it has encouraged me to get back out running. After telling a little bit of a white lie in episode 4, I said that my running had been uneventful, which is why I didn't cover it, when in reality it was non-existent. Feeling a bit flat on myself the week prior when we did the interview with Stuart didn't really help, but I definitely needed to get out this week for an outlet for the pressures that I'm going to be feeling in the office. I was grateful for the miles this week, even though they were typically in the rain, making for a sogging run. That's soggy jogging for anyone who doesn't follow my Strava. In addition to the runs through the week, there may be a supplementary park run tomorrow. It's pacer week, so I might get myself down, see if I can't PB over 5K. I'll see how I feel in the morning, if I can get up in time. I suspect, though, I might be staying in bed a little bit longer just to kind of refresh after, as I say, a busy week. Let's take a look, though, at other people's running through a stacked weekend for the weekend that passed. Well, easier way to say that is last weekend. I bit the bullet. I put out another roll call for shout outs and appreciation. A kind of final one to see if anyone actually liked taking part or not, or if I should go back to wildly plucking people out from my own feed. But no, you have come back in force, and it's been great to see the replies coming in thick and fast in the question box, but also in the inbox. And that's where we're going to kick things off from. Dropping into the inbox, we had Stevie McKenna, the man who will run silly distances for an ice cream, or as was shouted out that way by Chris Runs a Lap a couple of episodes ago, or just last episode, otherwise known as 100 kg to 100 km. Stevie dropped in to shout out Susan Swarbrick-Demick for completing her very first half marathon at the EMF at the weekend. He does say that there could and should be many shout outs from the whole event, but he wanted to really show the support and praise for Susan as she worked hard through the last 8 months and overcame a lot of obstacles to get that medal. So I'm going to echo that entirely. Susan has been with the 99 for a very long time. She was an early supporter for the podcast and gave us our very first publication and really put a spotlight on us as a whole. I've sadly only had the pleasure of her company once so far, but I can testify that she put in a lot of hard graft at that soggy weekend last August at Loch Ness, and she is a lovely woman. So well done, Susan. A really tough day once again. Maybe it's you that's taking the rain around with you, but I mean, covering the half marathon in what looked like horrendous conditions is just spectacular. So mega well done. I don't think that will be the last shout out for you today, but also a massive thank you to Stevie for binging the back catalogue of the 99 as well. Welcome to the show, my man. Uncle Lee would like to shout out everyone who ran and cheered at the EMF. He does go on to say that even though the conditions were horrible, it was the most brilliant of days. Now, in my head, I'm thinking of Bill and Ted and some air guitar there. So there's an image for you. Uncle Lee at the side of the EMF, cheering everyone on, giving some air guitar. Mark Baxter on Your Marks Running Coaching is shouting out his sister Claire for completing her very first ever race. And not just any race, but a marathon. Once again at the EMF. I mean, well done, Claire. What a cracking way to kick off your running adventure. But definitely jumping in at the deep end. You did prove that you can swim strong though, and you got to the finish. You got that medal. What an amazing thing to do as a whole on a very tough day and a very tough course. Mr. EH3 Miler, Chris Runs a Lap, is shouting out everyone except the organisers of the Edinburgh Marathon. I'm going to briefly give my thoughts on that before we run the guest interview. It certainly didn't sound like a perfect day for the organisers. I think that might be an understatement, but we'll get to that in just a little bit. Chris does go on to give a more serious shout out though for fellow previous guest and her buddy. The shout outs for Sarah Homer and Sam. Sarah has coached her buddy all year to beat young Sam, and he smashed it. And that is exactly the way Chris worded it, by the way. That's not me. I know how many levels of interpretation that could so easily have. Elaine Runs is buzzing while shouting herself out for completing her first marathon at the EMF. 4 hours and 27 minutes is a belter of a time as well, Elaine. Super well done there. There is a trend going on here. Nikki Sheridan, Knickknack Ultra Runs, is shouting out everyone who took part in the EMF. Great stuff, Nikki. And that's followed on by Geese on the Run, who's shouting out sign making at Shea Gamble and EMF cheering with some awesome people. Not to give anything away on that front, but listen closely to the interview, Geese, and you will see how much of a help that was for cheering people on, I mean, and how appreciated people found it. It's exactly what last week's guest, Stuart Runs a Lot, that he does, Stuart Rowan, is saying as well. Stuart was, of course, running the EMF, but he is shouting out the cheers squads for standing out in the downpours. That's also echoed by Alex Runs and Stuff for the epic cheer squads, but in particular, Lee, Andy, Karen, Kaylee, Geese, and the EH3 squad. Davey Kyle is shouting out Bobby Watt for smashing 20 minutes of his marathon PB at the EMF. A banger of a time to drop off your PB there, Bobby. Well done, and good on you, Davey, for shouting him out. Here we go. The lovely Curly Steph is shouting out Susan for running her first half marathon and smashing it. I did think that Stevie wouldn't be alone in that one, so mega congratulations once again, Susan. Emma Runs Ultras says, an ultra runner going sub 90 in the EMF half. Boom. Well done, Emma. I mean, oh, I need some tips off you here. How to get under sub 90 so I can follow suit as well. Finally, from the community responses, we have the pillar of our shout out section, Mr. James Gow, Jimmy Bunter, shouting out the amazing Jilly Life in Pictures for completing the EMF half despite multiple injuries and no running for 5 weeks prior to the event. Her first half, and she got it done with an amazing effort. That's the trouble though, Jilly. You hang around crazy people, you speak to crazy people like an ultra runner like Jimmy, and you go crazy and do epic things like that. But a massive congratulations for getting it done. It is also a huge congratulations from me to everyone who took part in the EMF and anywhere else actually over the course of the weekend. I'm going to add on a couple of people here. These are just some of the folks I picked up on from my feed. I've certainly missed more than a few, so I do apologize. Let me know as usual, and I will make amends in the next episode. We do, however, have the Team Alexis Rose squad, or Alan. He was down at the Dunblane 12-kilometer road race. It's not the last time you will hear Alan's name, though. Collie Wobbles was at the Edinburgh Half Marathon, just producing a casual PB. Well done there, Colin. Running to Relax, they were also at the Edinburgh Half Marathon for a PB. Thomas Stewart TS Runs, yay, another PB at the Edinburgh Half Marathon. Alex Runs and Stuff, I mean, he was shouting out the cheer squads. He just didn't shout himself out for a PB again at the Edinburgh Half Marathon. Ian McFarland, Ian MCF6 was at the Edinburgh Marathon running himself. Kev C28, a PB at the Edinburgh Marathon. You can see a trend here, can't you? We're going to break that trend though with David Wright, previous guest to the show, with the Scottish 5K Championships with a 44th, which is crazy when you hear the time of 15 minutes and 44 seconds, and he was still just 44th. That is one hell of a time that winner must have produced. Ready Eddie Run, the good old Wolves fan himself, came up from south of the border to casually just put a PB at the Edinburgh Marathon. Just Running Jenna was also at the Edinburgh Half Marathon, casually just pumping out a PB as well, as was Vicky ML Cole, another half marathon PB. We're back with Alan from the Team Alexis Rose team with the Edinburgh Marathon Festival 10K. Alan is like a mega hard worker. Anyone that follows Team Alexis Rose will see how much Alan is a trooper. He's at many an event at each weekend and he's training hard, ready for the Baxter's Loch Ness Marathon. I can't wait to meet the man. We next up have Andrew Kennedy. Run with Andrew for the Edinburgh Marathon. Another little break in the marathon or EMF shout outs. We've got Chris Runs for the Grand Union Canal, 145 miles in 24 hours, 2 minutes and 8 seconds, casually picking up a first place there as well. So hop on over to see Chris Runs or Chris _ Runs. It's a great read and one hell of a performance as well. Glasgow Marathon Mum was at the Edinburgh Half Marathon for a PB, as was Ellie 26.2, again a PB at the Half Marathon. Stewpots 07 was at the Edinburgh Marathon. Tull UK, Graham Tullock was at the Edinburgh Marathon, as was Melmouse Loves to Run, another Edinburgh Marathon. Running to a Better Place was at the Edinburgh Half Marathon. And then we get to a little bit more structure here as we finish off, because I was just plucking names and distances there. We've got Ryan Miller once again this week for another weekend of PBing, as he smashed out a 1 hour, 23 minutes and 13 seconds at the Edinburgh Half Marathon. What a PB, what a time. Slightly disappointed it wasn't a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 myself, but he did do it in some super sexy shoes, mind you. His partner in crime, not only for the pod, but also at the Newton Roadrunners, Alison Jardine, Scottish marathon girl, was also down at the half, smashing out one hell of a performance. Second to last one here, we've got Wizard Running Man, Rolf, for another PB in the marathon distance. And then finally, we have Alex Carlisle for completing her very first marathon after overcoming injury and still smiling by the end of it. You can actually hear how Alex got on over at the Girls Run Club podcast, ably assisted by some random pairing by the names of Ryan Miller and Alison Jardine. So hop on over there if you haven't listened already. Of course, once you're done listening to this episode right here. Right, so on the topic of the EMF though, and what I kind of alluded to when Chris Runs a Lap was shouting out everyone but the organisers, I've got a few thoughts on this one. They had a few too many mishaps to really cover in a single setting, but we'll hit the biggest point that made the national press, and that was the running out of medals. I mean, it could so easily have been a genuine mistake, but I suspect it's because of one of three reasons. And that is, firstly, just a genuine miscalculation. Mistakes happen, you hold your hands up and you make amends, you send them out. Second thought is that they're kind of like what happened with the Inverness half marathon organisers. They cheaped out, they got the medals made halfway around the world instead of just getting them made locally like they could get done. And it's either been a case that the delivery didn't get made in time and they kind of sent half a batch out, or they just made it super early and didn't appreciate that the event was going to sell out. The third and less likely option, but still a possibility given how it's plaguing the marathon scene of late, is that there was maybe some fake numbers at the event without chips on them. People have been getting hold of event numbers, running the event and getting a medal at the end, but that's depriving people who have paid for the event their own medal. The people that are using the fake numbers are still paying to get these fake numbers from, I don't know what outlet they're getting it from, but they are paying like a small amount, but it's nowhere near as much as an actual runner is paying. On an Edinburgh front, it is less likely, but I'm genuinely interested to see if that is the case and if anyone's getting race photos of other people wearing their number, as has happened at New York and Boston over the last year or so. It is a really scummy thing to do, I'm not going to lie on that front. Sure, events are charging way too much money right now, as EMF are going to be next year. 80 quid for a marathon is like bonkers. It is no way worth that. I've run it twice, and I would not say I would be paying 80 quid to run that course. It's definite profiteering off of the popularity of running, but still, if it was that, it's a pretty ratty thing to do. I'd be looking to hear what you guys think though. Do you think it is the case that it's been some fake numbers, or do you think it's genuine mistake? They've miscalculated, they've ordered from halfway around the world to get them done cheap, and they just haven't ordered enough, or haven't ordered enough to arrive in time. Other than that though, I mean, EMF really leaving people's drop bags on soaking wet ground after the torrential downpour that happened while there were plenty of empty lorries just sitting right behind where these bags were sitting on the ground. Be better, guys. You're not rookies at event planning now. You've done it for years and that was definitely a rookie mistake to make. Enough about that though, and on to this week's guest. It has been a bit of a segue here, as this man was also in action at the EMF, so it's lined up ever so nicely, almost as if we planned it to be that way. As always, I'm going to let the intro do the talking, but here we go, quoting Ian Runs and Cycles, it's the big Insta ride himself, AB McCracken. When it comes to all-round top gents, you don't get much better than today's guest. As a huge supporter for not only this, but many of the podcasts in our little bubble, while regularly being one of the first to share the love and appreciation to ourselves and our guests. He proves his top gent status weekly. I've only had the pleasure of meeting him in the flesh once so far, and I hope it won't be for the last, as he comes across as such an affable guy in person as well. On a running front, this man can easily be described as the quintessential everyday runner, regularly ticking off many a run, doing just that, running. No fartlek sessions, tempo, strides, or hill sprints, just raw, unadulterated running in its purest form. It's that pure form of running and his natural talent that has seen this man reach some fairly lofty finishing places event after event. I can only imagine where he'd place with a plan behind him. That's why I wanted to have him on today, to hear where the secret lies to his success, how far he's come and where he'd like to go with his running, as I think many others would like to hear as well. I've called him many things during the podcast seasons, but nothing more appropriate than the poster boy of the Newton Roadrunners. From shouting out others to having the podium and his time to shine, it's the one and only AB, the Edinburgh Stunner, McCracken. Welcome to the show, AB.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on. Hey, that's some introduction, might I say.
You're very welcome. I'm so happy to have you on, the Edinburgh Stunner. That's obviously come from your running wife.
My running wife, Jace, yeah. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
He added that earlier on. I had something else. I had AB the Model McCracken, and he said, oh, it's Edinburgh Stunner. I'm like,
keep them coming. Keep the compliments coming. I love that.
We're early on in the week. How are you getting on?
A little bit sore. Still a bit sore from the weekend. No runs planned anytime soon. Just rest for a few days, I think, and we'll see what happens.
Good stuff. I mean, your recovery run, you'll have to do that at some points.
So I think that's penciled in maybe tomorrow or Thursday, just a little one, just see how the legs are. But legs up tonight and just relax.
After that performance of the weekend, you're deserving of a bit of a rest.
Definitely am.
Especially that photo you shared, the one that's on the promo of just lying on the deck. I'm surprised you got back up again.
Well, that was Les, to be honest. That was just after the finish. I didn't even see her. I was out caught, I was just lying on the ground, and I see this phone in my face, and she went, "Yeah, that's a great photo." I was like, "Okay, I'll not move," but I can't really remember much about it.
Oh, it's kind of like Ryan then, isn't it, from the year before? But maybe not as bad, not blacked out as much.
No, not as much as him, no.
Oh well, I'm conscious of time because I know pretty well that you're an early bedder, and we've just said that. And it's getting on there in the evening, so not to kind of hold back too long. A little birdie has told me you are a little bit apprehensive about this one today. You don't think that there's much to talk about, although we've talked for a good half hour already, just settling in your nerves.
It flies in naturally, yeah.
It does, yeah. Commonplace though, you're kind of familiar with what we do here.
Of course.
So we'll start from the very beginning. How did you get to the point you're at today? Your introduction to fitness as a whole, I think even Stevie Wonder can see you look after yourself. Has that generally been a healthy upbringing, kind of being sporty from a younger age, or is that been something you kind of focus on more in your adult years? I am assuming it's a lot of football.
Yeah, so a football background. Everything was football. Growing up as a young boy, to field the brothers every day, football. There was no interest in running growing up. There was a couple of stories that was told when I was younger to other people, but not that I can remember that. But everything was football, completely football, yeah.
So that was your school days, really kind of just focused on...
Yeah, where I grew up, it was one thing only, it was football. So yeah, that was my love for football at a young age. But there was no love for running as a young boy. Or a young man that all came like most of the other new runners these days was lockdown.
Yeah.
Again, relating back to football, we're in a WhatsApp group chat with football, and I remember all saying lockdown. One of the boys put in the chat, let's start doing this 5K a day when we were all eventually allowed out. So yeah, there was like 30 of us. I think after day two, there was two of us left that were doing the 5Ks. And yeah, my love for running just kicked on from there.
But that's where I thought it all started, because you're... first running related post that I can see on Instagram is 2020 and it was a half marathon, casually just running up Arthur's Seat in the middle of it.
That was it, yeah. Beat a wee lap Arthur's Seat in the middle of a half marathon, yeah. So that was the thing. Like I say, I started with a 5K in lockdown, and it was like 7Ks. I remember going around the Meadows. I think I was using the My Runner app at the time. Mm-hmm. I was like 32 minutes for a 5K around the Meadows, and I was blown out my backside. But I loved it. I just kept going and going and going. And obviously, my love for running has took over a lot of things these days.
Like a duck to water, as they say.
Yeah, yeah.
There is another, because I'm focusing a lot on, I've done a lot of kind of reading. I don't do very much research, as you know, normally about my guests. But because you were so apprehensive, I thought, I'm actually going to go through your content.
Appreciate that.
And you've done so much in a short space of time. But there was one post in particular, you must have been out for like a casual run. And someone's taken a snap of you mid-run, and it was the caption of "there's no better feeling" or something along that lines. You've obviously just taken it to like a duck, like a duck to water.
Yeah, I think I know what that was. I think that was actually that was a lockdown marathon. That was the Edinburgh. Okay. Yeah, so that was so there was 2021. I'd signed up for the marathon. Obviously, it was lockdown, so I remember running along to Broxbourne Bings along the canal.
Yep.
And then back along towards my brother's house, and again, stopped a couple of times, but I was absolutely done in, but I loved it. That was like 3 hours 38, my very first ever marathon, and from then onwards, I loved it. I just had to keep getting out there.
That's a spot on memory, because it was exactly 3:38 that you've
yeah, no, it stuck in my head, like, just to see it, like, how far I have came. That was my very first one, and I absolutely loved it.
So that actually then, I was thinking to myself, I've totally was oblivious there that that was a lockdown marathon.
Yeah.
Your Inverness half marathon, kind of where I've just admitted to you that I've seen you in the flesh before. So although we've met, I'd seen you in the flesh before at the Inverness half marathon in 2023. I do recall you saying now that that might have been your first official event.
So it was just beforehand. What we've done was the Kilomethon in Edinburgh. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yeah.
So I've done the Kilomethon, and see if you actually look back, I knew nothing about running then. Like, the only gel I knew was gel you put in your hair. And I've genuinely, if you look at the photo, see the baggage tag you get for your baggage luggage? I've got it on my wrist at the time. I thought it was just for your wrist to show. Like, I had no clue whatsoever. There's me with my vest on, my phone in it, like my T-shirt, my wee tight T-shirt and my shorts. And I knew nothing about these runs and events. And then after the Clomathon with Jason got me to sign up for Inverness Link. He gets me to sign up for a Bella run that I do these days.
It's good to have someone to encourage you.
Oh, everyone needs a Jason, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Hence why I'd probably still have the baggage hand on my wrist. If
like you've been at a festival or something.
Yeah, then honestly, if it wasn't for Jason, like, I'd be so lost when it comes to all these events.
Because you imagine if everyone did that, though. All these events you were all signing up for, it would like be festival givers. It'd be up your elbow.
That's a not bad show, that, to be fair.
It's maybe a good way of doing it. That Kilimon. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that's the one. That.
So, like, for that being your first event, I've got a note here. You finished 15th out of 1,090 people.
Yeah.
For your first event.
Something going on. That's what I thought. I've got a bit here, to be honest. So that's why I really stuck to it. I think people could maybe give it this heart or something like that. Like, I'm competitive. I'm a really competitive person. So when I seen that, I was like, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, if I can get 15th this year, I can win this in a couple of years' time. Which
that's a good mentality to have.
Which wasn't the case, but listen, I still enjoy it. That's all that matters.
But I don't know what your finishing position. I could have gone on to the Inverness half and found out, because 2023, it wasn't a Scottish Championship year, so it probably was high up the roster again.
Right, okay.
But I'd say that was the first time I kind of became aware of you. Mm-hmm. We then crossed paths at the 2023 Edinburgh Marathon, which would then have been your first proper event marathon.
Yeah, it was, yeah. So, yeah, that was an eventful marathon, that was, yeah.
That one was too. Now,
yeah.
Obviously, we're going to get to this weekend past marathon. In my head, having seen how you've got on at some of the events recently with Manchester and your disappointment, which we'll come to as well, I was thinking, AB must be so disappointed because it got so close to 3 hours and not quite getting it. But Edinburgh 2023, you did a sub-3.
Well, this is the thing, right? So it was 2:59:54. And even in my head, I was like, nah, that's too close to 3 hours to take that pride from that. Like, I just squeezed it. And I think that's why I was so disappointed with Manchester as well, to be fair, because it was obviously it was over the 3 hour mark, and I thought that's out the window. I'm not going to get that again.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's why I was a bit disheartened about that.
You must be the worst runner then for going to an event and being like 1 second off your target.
Oh, it was absolutely gutted, honestly.
Totally sympathize. Totally sympathize. It's just looking at some of these accolades, though, I think this is why, personally, I was looking forward to speaking to you, and why other people are so keen as well to hear. Because the feedback today, once I put that up in the stories that you were coming on, it's been like so, so strong. People just wanted to hear a story and just saying, really? This is going to be a good one. Yeah, honestly.
I appreciate that. That means a lot, by the way, to be fair, because like you say, like we were saying earlier on, like quite a confident guy and things like that. But when it comes to, I just didn't see why people would want to hear from me. But yeah. I do appreciate that people are actually sending messages to you. And
so many. Now, we'd usually get a few, but nowhere near as many as today.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. I love that.
I think this is going to be a successful one, as long as I can do a good job about it. But it's already feeling quite natural.
I'll just smash it every time.
Thank you. So, like, the accolades that you've had, now, I'm trying to skim as much as possible because even for a short space of time, you've done so much. And for someone who, I think, underestimates their natural talent, you probably, like, remember all these events, but they're kind of pushed to the back of your head. Your first ultra, the Glen Ogle, you finished 13th.
Yeah.
The John Muir Way, 50, you finished 9th.
That's John Muir Way was amazing. I love that. That was some buzz.
This is a man who doesn't do programs, doesn't do plans, doesn't maybe take his running to the heights that it could be with, I suppose it is a pain in the arse doing plans. It takes a lot out of your day. You could just run. Yeah, it's not for you. But
no.
Can you see why other people are looking at you going, that is just, as I said in the intro, you're the quintessential everyday runner. You just like running. And Jason's spoken about this before as well. You don't want to muddy your waters by adding in fuss and faff by doing hill sprints and fartlek. You just like going out running.
Yeah, I think with the running, it could be down to the fact that if I had a plan. And listen, everybody's got an everyday busy life. We've all got things going on in life and things like family and whatnot. And I feel like if I was to have one day not sticking to that plan, that would maybe dishearten me and think, well, just I've gave up, like I failed in it. So that's why I just stick to my own thing. I just go out, get my shoes on and just run. I think it's down to the fact that also my missus is that good a cook that I think if I get home quick enough, I can get my dinner. And I'm an early bedder as well, so you get the head down as well.
I tire yourself out by going really fast.
Yeah, but... Yeah. I'm quite jealous of these people that can stick to these plans. And look at Ryan, for instance. He's absolutely flying. Like how far he's came on, and Alison as well. Like they two are unbelievable. What the times and what they're doing now is like the last year incredible. Hats off to them. Like
I think Ryan's especially his journey from he was never slow.
No,
he's never been slow. And the having him on pre 2023 marathon, he was always going to be on for a winner. There, he's very driven like yourself.
Yeah,
he likes to do the best he can do.
Yeah, but
to then get to the point he's at, and he did listen to last week's episode. He did call me a cheeky bastard for calling him an old man, but he did also say like, hold fire on the shout out because I'm going to do it again this weekend.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I can see a lot in yourself as well, because you do listen to a lot of the content out there. You're a big supporter of the Press Play and Run as well as ourselves.
Yeah, of course.
And some of the other podcasts, including your own podcast now.
There we go.
You're obviously being influenced to go, if they're doing that, I can do it as well. And it's a kind of natural pushing yourself is not more natural to you than it is to someone like myself, who I'm a solo runner, kind of like yourself as well, even though you're part of a club.
Yeah.
You just have that natural talent to go, I've got a goal, I'm going to smash that.
Yeah, definitely. I think also when you see people like Ryan and like Jace as well, Jace has came on leaps and bounds and a few other boys are smashing it, and that pushes me. Like I'm never going to be the best, but I want to be the best. Like if somebody's running, I want to run faster. I just want to try and pick it up. Like people say, oh, just race against yourself. No, I'm racing against everybody that I've got on Instagram. Like I want to catch him. I've got boys Sean at work, and he's an absolute speed demon, and he's my goal. If I can get as close to him as possible, that's my target. I just want to try and push myself as much as I can.
I think that was, again, your Instagram. It may have been the men's 10K.
Yeah.
And it was a sprint finish
video.
And you were driven to beat that other guy. You were just like, no, sod you, I'm going to get you on the line.
That's the thing. Me and him, like, obviously didn't know the guy, but afterwards, like, I thought I nipped him. I thought I just nicked it. So I put a post up saying, somebody's like, who won? I was like, I think I just nipped him, blah, blah, blah. And he managed to find me, and then we set our times, and we had the exact same time right down to the second, so I had to change it to a draw, but it hurt me a little bit. But no, it's good to be competitive, I think.
You are definitely, like, you've got that competitive side. So, like, I mean, going back again, you've got your 3:38 at your first marathon, virtual marathon. Mm-hmm. You've got your first, well, your second event, sorry. Inverness Half was a sub 1:30.
Yeah, 1:26, I think it was.
Yeah, a few of us are still trying to push for a sub 1:30, and you're just like casually gliding that one out.
I love that Inverness. I would recommend that to anybody. That's a really good run. It's a really nice place.
It's a fast one. That
yeah,
was
so fast.
A dodgy year though that year as well, because the traffic, there was a bit of mismanagement from the organisers, so that some of the traffic was getting through. But you were so fast, you got through all of that.
I think I missed that traffic.
You did, huh? And I think, again, this year, it was a shame. I think there was a bit of a clash on, because with it being the Scottish Championships, I think you could have placed really well as well. So that could have been a bit of an accolade for you. But going through again, you got your 15th at the kilo for your first event out of like 1,000 people. You've got your sub 3 at your home marathon in 2023. You've got a 13th place at your first ultra that you've already discussed with myself, but we're going to touch on now to say you did that in a pair of alphas and a pair of white shorts, which
so that's like we were saying pretty earlier on, like I rocked up with the shortest, like hot pants, these wee white shorts. You've probably seen my photos.
Yeah,
I painted alpha ones, and it wasn't until me and Jason got changed and we were walking to the meetup point, and I was like, we're looking around and everybody's got like trail shoes on, and I was like, I think I've done the wrong thing here, but I was like, I'm going to go with it anyway, I'm there, so let's get it done. But we're queuing up, and somebody passed comment. And they were like, "You shouldn't be wearing white shorts for an ultra." I was like, "How come?" She went, "Just in case you have an accident." I was like, I'm not planning on having an accident, but yeah, went out with the white shorts and alpha ones, and they smashed it. I think
the only person I've heard of actually having an accident while running is Rachel McPherson. So,
Jason's told me this a couple of times. Yeah,
I think a few of us, including myself, have been caught out, so you've had to go to the bushes. But yeah,
see the thing about Glen Ogle, though, I think anybody, you just run in what you feel comfortable in, to be honest, when it comes to trainers. I don't take AMD's advice. It's nice for people to pass comment, but if I want to run in a pair of alpha ones, I'll run in alpha ones. If I'm comfortable, I'll do it.
Yeah, and again, that was a great half hour chat we had, and we touched on the 24 and my 2 years there. The first year, no trail shoes. Second year, no trail shoes. Two different, completely different situations. Running in normal shoes in the 24 in a dry year, it doesn't matter if you've got trail shoes on or not, because it is just the type of event that it is. But then running in the wet, trail shoes would not have helped that level of mud and torrential rain. So personally, I don't see the benefit of trail shoes unless, like you said, it's like a really rocky, heavy event. So
yeah, definitely, yeah.
You're going to get your, and I've referred to this a few times, the sexy people, the marathon runners, not the ultra runners, the wild men. I would still say no matter how many ultras you run, you're going to be a marathon runner through and through.
100%. I think so. We and I spoke about this, but we've obviously, this is maybe something for later on, we're talking about what's next, but we have got an ultra coming up towards the end of the year, and that will be my last ultra. I'm going back to I'm chucking the towel in with ultras, I think.
going back to the sexy people club.
That's it, going back to the sexy running, yeah.
So you've got Glen Ogle, you've then got the Innocent Half.
Yeah.
Which, that's a great photo of you and Jace with the bridge in the background. But you got ninth there as well.
Yeah, in fact, I forgot about it. Yeah, that got ninth. So that was a hard course. It was a lovely event, very well set up and things like that, like 10 out of 10 for that. But it's not a PB course, even though I think Jace got a PB on that. It's a difficult course. But yeah, I got, I think it was a number 24 or something like that, if I can remember.
Spot on. Again, number 24.
I'm keeping the things in the head. That's a competitive. I'll make sure I get them right. But yeah, an hour 24, and it was, I would definitely do that again. I would recommend that to everybody. That's a really, really good run.
Because that's got the hill in the middle, doesn't it?
it's got a hill at the start. Like,
is it the hill at the start, right?
You're not even a kilometre in and you're hitting this beast off a hill, and then even throughout the course, there's up and downs, but again, I think the downhills come at the right time and it gives you a bit of a lift and pushes you on.
Yeah. Then John Muir, we've mentioned that already. Ninth.
That was as much as it was enjoyable. Well, in fact, it wasn't enjoyable. Let's be brutally honest. It was horrible. It was a headwind the whole way. It was fair play to everybody who took part in it. That was a hard, hard challenging run. It was, but yeah, finishing ninth was amazing. But
can you remember the time?
4 hours in the barn. Mm-hmm. But at 50 on City Bear, 4 hours.
I was like 4 seconds or something.
That was a hard, hard run. There was like a good chunk of that on the sand. Maybe about a kilometre on the sand. It was really, really tough, windy, wet. But yeah, it was some buzz to cross the finish line, see my missus there and get into that was ninth.
To be almost home territory as well.
Yeah.
That distance, headwind, sand, finishing ninth. That must just spur you on as well, though.
Oh, massively. Like you come away from that and you're buzzing for days and you're telling, you stop people in the street and you're telling them about how you get on, you're buzzing that much. But it was really, really good. I really enjoyed that run.
Do you not then look, and this is no offense to any of the actual like serious ultra runners, do you not look at that and go, as someone whose primary event isn't ultras and just how quick you're doing them in? Again, if you focused on ultras as your main event and went for ultra gear, you could be like topping the charts by smashing this just with natural talent. Whereas you've got these guys that are training for ultras regularly and they're maybe not getting the results they want because they are putting so much effort in it. Does that ever kind of cross your mind as to, again, it goes back to programs and plans, what you could achieve?
I think, yeah, definitely. I think when you look at it and think what you've done, and if you always stick to a plan and eat the right things, like, you'd be surprised what I eat on a daily basis, to be honest with you. It's ridiculous. But I just doesn't think it fits in with my lifestyle. And it just doesn't. I couldn't do it. Like, hats off to these guys and girls that give up their time and the effort and the training they put in. Like, 10 out of 10. It's unbelievable. But I just, no, I don't think it's for me, to be honest.
I agree with you there. I don't see a point in changing your diet.
Ultra runners, though, the food and the, like, it's different. See, if you're a marathon, you're squeezing the gels down. You're stopping having pizzas and snacks mid-run. If you love a snack, go and run an ultra. That's what I would say to anybody, because it's unbelievable. Stopping getting glasses of Coke and things like that is brilliant.
Defrosting potatoes in your back, though. I mean,
so, well, I've heard about the potatoes. Yeah, I've been hearing about that. That's Mike's speciality, the potatoes. But
it's so weird. It's such a weird.
I know. I've never. I didn't. No, it's not for me. But him and Jace swear by them, so I wouldn't.
Whereas marathon runner, you're trying to get as short as you can get, as little fabric on your top as you can get. And where do you put your phone? Well,
there we go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I am in a way, as someone who looks at your running and is a big admirer of everything you're doing, from someone who is, I'm going to say the word again, quintessential everyday runner. You don't want the fuss and the hassle. How does it feel then being a club runner as well? Is that just for the connection to the community, or do you use that as like track sessions and stuff?
Well, the thing is, I'd love to do the track sessions. I think Jace has spoken a couple of times and I was going to go along a couple of times with him, but it's never happened. I think we need to make a bit of effort going through and see the rest of them. But I think Stuart touched on it last week as well. If you can join a club, definitely join it. Like, the lift you get in the, like, obviously I think we'll cover what happened on Sunday in a bit, but the lift that the people gave me, they helped massively for what I achieved at the weekend. And I thanked them all in the group chat, and they were a different class and they push you on so much, and there's such lovely, lovely people.
I've seen that post a few times from whether it was Stuart, whether it was yourself, shared from Jace, the overall, I think it was the Newton page itself, shared how well you guys did, how well everyone did. But then to have someone who is looking after you and sharing that and raising you up, it must be really special.
It's an amazing feeling. Like, there's like, even like, before a run, you'll get a message. It doesn't have to be on social media, but you'll get a message. Pete or one of the guys, one of the girls, like, wishing you well, wishing you all the best. And it's a buzz, and it does definitely help you. It is. It's so, so nice.
I do then, though, get the feeling that looking at Newton, and because you're not really part, you're not doing the sessions and stuff, it's like you're a free transfer. That they've gone and got like a star runner or star football player from another team that's out of contract.
Well, the thing is, this is it. I'm not going to say any names, but so Jason's aware of this. He came along a couple of times. I joined a club in Edinburgh, and I think I went along to about 4 or 5 sessions, and it was like the fartlek and speed sessions and things like that. And I remember stuck at the end, and nobody spoke. There was no conversation whatsoever. And I was standing about like a... I was standing at the end. It was just an awkward situation. Like, I was like, this isn't for me. And so that's why I never joined a club and done my own thing. And obviously Jason's friendly with Ryan and all the Newton group, and he was like, come along, let's get a try. Mm-hmm. And I joined, and honestly, it's like I said, if you can join our group, I'd recommend Newton to anybody. Look at me, I'm from Edinburgh. They're a Glasgow-based group, and I've joined them, and they're spot on.
I mean, you support a Glasgow-based team, so you're going to...
It's been a bad year. We'll just stick to the running chat just now.
A better year for you than it was for me. The thing with that as well. So the club you were with, I'm not going to get you to say the names, but are they very famously well for wearing white?
Yeah, they're very well. Like, you go, when you go to any runs in Edinburgh, they're probably the top one. Like, they're everywhere.
Yeah,
but no disrespect. If you look at their social media as well, which obviously we can maybe have a chat with their name later. But you didn't see much posts even at the weekend. You don't see much of them like bigging their team up. Like Newton, just
it's more of a bit of an old boys club.
With Newton, you could run a sub 3 or a 6 hour marathon, and you're going to get the same praise. That's what I absolutely love. You're treated the same as everybody else, and that's how it should be. I think. Yeah. Cool. Very welcome.
Yeah. Well, that's, if I was closer down, I think I would.
You don't have to be. That's the thing. They welcome all people. And to be fair, I think when you get that vest on or the t-shirt, it gives you a bit of lift. And then you see your friends at the Big Racing Link on the weekend there, and it definitely pushes you.
I think there's a limit to the distance for myself, maybe. I think that's to get a discount for a race entry, joining the club in Glasgow might be a bit of a distance. I am, however, coming down fairly soon, and that has been a shout from Stuart last week, was maybe come along to a session if it's a Tuesday. Yeah, I'm going to be down in the area on Monday and Tuesday. So that's something I need to look at, because I'm seeing the likes of Stuart and how well he's got on. Certainly from yourself, it doesn't really impact your running as much, other than it gives you that boost because you've got the backing of a community, of a club. Mm-hmm. You're looking at other people and going, I could do that as well. I can run those times. I can run that distance. So I kind of change of direction here, though, and looking at the distances you are running in Manchester Marathon, a 3:06 is a phenomenal time, and you were disappointed.
Yeah.
Can you run it? Can you take me through where that disappointment came from, and maybe what happened? Did the wheels feel like they came off, or?
I went out, so like every other race, I went out far, far too fast, far too early. I went out, I think at the halfway mark, I was sitting at an hour 22, an hour 23, and I blew up hugely. Even though it was only a few weeks back, the taking gels and things like that on course, I think I was just taking them willy-nilly and not really paying much attention to it. I'm a lad, I can just do whatever I want. Yeah. And I think I got to, is it Alchenham, the place? There's a bit of an incline, and after I got up that, I just, like you said, the wheels fell off. I blew up massively. And I was genuinely close to you. I was walking the side. I think I walked like 3 or 4 times. And I was like, nah, I'm chucking the towel in. But I said to myself, my missus is at the finish line. I'm going to have to go to the finish line anyway to see her. Get back in the race and like, just keep going. Like, push yourself. Like, you're going to get a medal. Just go and do it. Push yourself. And what, again, people on the course, there was a lot of guys walking, and we kind of lifted each other up a little bit, and we managed to push through. But I think once you've had that sub 3, and I wanted to put a bit of respect to my name there, like, again, I pushed myself. I was like, right, I just got the 6 seconds underneath at Edinburgh. I want to try and get a few couple of minutes off it. And when I knew that was at the window, I kind of beat myself up a little bit. I'm a worst critic. Like, I think the thoughts that go through your head in the hard miles, if you can push yourself past that, then you could maybe go into get your goals, but I think that on that day, it got the better of me and beat me up a little bit.
Had you not like had a few niggles though running in the run up to Manchester?
Well, there's a interesting story here. I don't know if you're aware of it, but as you probably tell,
what you're going to say.
I think Jace might have filled you in on this, but
I think it was Bob this one.
Bob was it Bob? Oh, okay, yeah, nice. Yeah. I'm happy to come back for that. So I'm partial to a wee Ningman holiday now and again. So I went for a wee, let's say a wee lie down one, and as I was pulling the door down on top of me, something popped in my ribs, and yeah, so that was like the week before Manchester. But I didn't know why make excuses. Obviously, the boys in the chat we were in the pod with, they were all aware of it. We had a laughing joke, but I wasn't going to be telling everybody because I wasn't the one for people to think I was going to pull an excuse out of the bag.
Yeah,
like it was down to me to run that race, and yeah, I think I was a bit disheartened, and I beat myself up in my result. I think I should have because 3:06 is still incredible. Like afterwards, like my missus and her family were there, and they came out and they travelled so far to support me, and that meant so much to me. So I thought like I had to put on a show and date for other people.
Yeah,
and she was like, oh my god, you've done amazing, and I was like, no, I was so beaten up about it. And she was like, pull yourself together, what you've done is incredible.
Yeah,
so it's good to have somebody like that at the finish line, but I'm not used to that. So yes, yeah,
I think no matter how many times you run a marathon, and as soon as you join the 1% club, you can be your biggest critic. I was my own biggest critic in my first year. I was so disappointed, and even at Amsterdam, I was so disappointed because I felt I could have done more.
Yeah.
Do you feel then as well, though, that little mishap may have, even if you didn't feel it on the course, you think that was in the back of your head, you were thinking, I'm 100%. Not 100% here, and it was maybe holding you back a little bit?
100%. That doubt was in my head the whole way, and I think that it got to me too much, and I think that's where it went wrong for me, I think.
Yeah. Because as soon as you get in your own head, it's probably the worst thing. I remember an exact part of Amsterdam that I was in such a hole, like I don't even know if you know the reason why, but a few people do. I was in such a pit of I just didn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But that time was so phenomenal in comparison to anything I'd done before. But I know what you mean. You get into that little hole and you're just like, you have to talk yourself around. You have to just be like, I'm already in the 1% club. If I'm running at this time, then that percentage of where I am in the world of marathon finishers is like getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
And you're a good bit away from me. So you're in like some mega percent club of achievers. So then to take that to your home marathon again and just how it went at the weekend, take us through the kind of like just generally how it all went, because you obviously had your meetup, you'd arranged with Jace and a few others to kind of meet up, and
yeah,
it helped me so much the year before. Can you take us kind of through the whole event then from that point?
Yeah, so just obviously in the build up to that, like obviously we're talking about John Murray and then we're talking about Manchester. I go and did my wee fast runs during the week. I hadn't rest. I had no rest whatsoever, and I was run down, and again that doubt was in my head. And on the build up, Jason up like, oh, you'll get this time, and I was like, no, I'm not going to get it. So on race day, like you said, we had a few of us all met together just beforehand and had a good wee chat, telling each other what I think we were going to get, and it was really nice. It was a nice wee meet up. So the race, as obviously you know, the weather, it was it wasn't the best days. So it kicked off to I think the first hour 20 was a downpour. It was a horrible Edinburgh day, but yeah, it was after the rain kind of cleared, got on with it. It was, you say you've done Edinburgh yourself. I'm not the biggest fan of the course, but the Sellet is a fast and flat run, and that's what it is. It could be a lot better. It's not the most enjoyable course, but yeah, Sunday was, Sunday I'm still on cloud nine, but I'm buzzing it, to be honest.
Did the weather help because of the experience that Edinburgh has had for many people in the last couple of years, how hot it's been and just generally how much that saps your energy? Do you think that the rain actually then helped you as well, as much as being soaking through for the first half is never going to be enjoyable with the chafe? Did it help you in the long run?
Yeah, see, to be honest with you, I think it did. I think you can overheat too much as well if you go you're going a bit faster.
Yeah.
And I think that I managed to like, cool myself down. So I genuinely do. I say that to a few people. I think the rain did actually help on that end result. But as we got to Gosford House, it was absolutely roasting for some reason. Like, I don't know what happened, but everyone said the same. It was so sticky and humid. It wasn't the...
Yeah, it's probably because the trees, though, the humidity built a little, probably built a little bit more in there. It's a little bit greener in the countryside. It isn't the most enjoyable route as a marathon. Do you have then, with the success that you had and the time and you're in cloud nine, because it was a phenomenal time, what was the finishing time?
2:56.
2:56. I've got it here, but I just want you to say it because you're so good at your numbers.
Absolutely buzzing, but like I was saying about on the course, because of the last year and Newton and knowing a lot more people through social media that runs, like the amount of people on course that were running as well that were shouting you on, I was on the build up to, so between Port Seton and Gosford House, like you'll know yourself, there's lonely stretches when you're on your own.
Why?
And I was on my own and I was struggling a little bit. And this older gentleman, Rob, his name was running past me and he was like, "You know Alison?" I was like, "Yeah." He was like, "I used to be a coach." And we're just running beside each other for about a good couple of kilometres. And he was like, "Hey, what's your goal?" And I was like, "I'd love to get this." He was like, "Well, I'm going to get that. So run with me and I'll make sure you get it." And he lifted me and I could feel that he could have opened the legs and went, but he pushed me for a good 10 kilometre and he played a massive part in my day, to be honest.
Wow.
It was amazing, honestly. Like, I actually got his number through Alison and I have messaged him since then, just thanking him. Like, he actually pushed me so much. And it was a really nice meeting the guy.
Would that convince you then with an interaction like that with a coach, would it not convince you to maybe have, even if it's a low-key on and off relationship with one, to get a coach?
Possibly. Like, I have something after Sunday thinking about, like, what I could go into. Like, I'm not going to go and be the greatest, but I think I could maybe, there's more in the tank where I could push myself and possibly get better numbers if that is my goal.
Yeah.
I'm more than happy what I've done and what I've got. I don't have to get any better. Like, I want to run a marathon one day where I actually want to run with Jason when I wasn't feeling great. I was like, well, I could not be bringing Jason then, but I was like, I want to run a marathon and just enjoy the day.
Yeah.
So I think maybe get a coach and see what they could push me and what my capabilities are.
I know how you feel as well. To run a marathon and run it with people, enjoy it like I did with Elodie last year. And then the Loch Ness the year before, having that option to run with Lee, to run with Giz, to run with everyone, and then going, actually, no, I'm going to go for it at this point. Because it's nice to have a hype squad on the start line. And I always have someone, whether it's John White, a man that I meet randomly, and he always hypes me up when I've got the doubt, same as yourself. You think, I'm not going to do very well here.
Yeah.
And it just takes that one wise kind of like Mr. Miyagi type figure to come and just raise you up.
That's what he was. That's what that role was. He just, on the course, I think the doubt started playing in my head. I was looking at the watch thinking, I might not get what I want. But he was like, no, listen to me. You're getting it. You're coming with me. Open your legs and I promise you I'll push you through it. And it was amazing. So maybe like yours. Yeah.
As with marathons in mind, sorry, I stopped you mid-flow there. With marathons in mind, do you have a dream race that you'd like to go to and an ultimate goal time that you would like to achieve?
London. London's the one for me. Like, I've applied 3 years and got declined. I sat watching Ryan and the rest of the team this year, and I've never been glued to my phone so much. I was just like shouting at the phone, praising them, like wanting them to get their goals. Like, London's for me, it's a bucket list run. So I have applied again. I think we find out next month. So
we do find out very, very soon.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
People are saying, obviously, you could go down the charity route, but as much as obviously everyone raises money for charity, I hate going on social media and asking people to raise money for charity. So I'd like to get in my own and maybe do it one way then.
Yeah.
But if I can get London, I'd be absolutely buzzing with that. If not, I think I might look at something. Like I was saying this to Ryan on social media, I might look about going abroad and hitting one of the runs after seeing what Jace done as well. Looks, running in the sunshine looks incredible.
Apart from the chafe that he got from that.
That didn't look too good.
The heat, it's nice to go abroad. I would hand on heart say that Amsterdam is a great course for someone like yourself. It is fast, it is flat. It's a bit, if you don't like me, if you like a little bit of elevation, it can be, it could be classed as boring because it is so, it's just flat. It's like a dime all the way, apart from a couple of small variations on it. But if you're running in the kind of starter pen that you would be in, you wouldn't be hampered. Whereas I think with hearing that you'd love to run London, would you not then feel like you'd be a bit disappointed if you didn't get a time there? Or would you be happy to run it just for the sakes of running London? Because you've got so many people there and having to dodge them.
No, I wouldn't be happy. I'd have to get a time.
Exactly.
I think if you're going to go to London, I think, you know, going back to talking about Ryan a lot here, but I think he was 306 the same for London. Me and him got the same for Manchester. I think he was beat up a little bit as well, but again, still an incredible time. But if you're going to go down the ballot route, you're not guaranteed London. So if you get it, I think that could maybe push me into looking at a coach or one of these apps to join.
Get a good phrase.
To try and get the time. So maybe that's that coach role could maybe come in then.
I think that would have to be the way for hearing what you've said so far. Yeah. If you went to London, even if you got through the ballot process, you would end up running significantly further than a marathon, weaving in and out of people, and you would get frustrated, and you would put it on yourself rather than the fact there's just the amount of bodies, and it's getting more and more popular as more and more people there. And Ryan, as you say, did phenomenally well. I loved watching his little dot, him and Allison jinking it out, kind of. It just looked like they were constantly passing each other, but it just goes with to show how many people are there, how much effort you have to put in over and above. Say running in Edinburgh, because you were on the finishing line, it looked like there was no one in front of you for miles. It looked like you were leading the pack in, and then there's a whole bunch behind you. I would love to see you get a London Marathon medal, but I would hate for you to like put that pressure on yourself of trying to get a time.
Yeah, no, I can see why you think that, but I think if I got London, I think I would go all out and done everything I possibly could to get the time I wanted. I think I've got the capability to push myself that much that if I get it, I think I would come away with what I wanted.
If you don't get it this year, tell me you'll think, even if it's breaking the odd night and like you say, you like to get home, your missus cooks good food, and you don't want to ruin your normal plan. Go to these club sessions, go to these track sessions, do that extra little bit that you don't normally do, but don't do it so it kind of puts you off, but enough that your running would probably see the benefits of it as well. And then he's good for age, for London, for all the majors. It would be for you to take that then. There would be open for you to go, like, I'm going to go here and I'm going to do this time. And then it'd be easy for you to do.
Yeah, of course, I think that as well. But I think also what I do, it works for me. And I think there's maybe people out there that look at maybe what I'm doing thinking, well, he's fast and he's getting times. But genuinely, if I'm just going and running, you can do it. Maybe you might look at the times, but just go out and run and enjoy it. Like, you don't have to stick to plans. They do work for a lot of people. But for me, that, like Jay said to you, that might take that enjoyment away from me. So if London comes available and I do get it, I might look at that so I can give myself that extra push just for that race. But I love running and I love just my everyday stuff, what I do. I love just getting the shoes on and just running. It's as simple as that, to be honest. Okay, it might seem boring, but I just love getting the music on and just going and enjoying it.
And of course, this is not going to have I'm not probably going to use very much of the video footage, but you are genuinely cheesing a massive grin there when you're talking about how much you love running.
Yeah, I do. Like, I think we've all got a dark place, or went dark places. I had a thing, mole boy, when he passed and went through a wee bit of dark place. And then that love for running, like, that was my safe place. That got me out, cleared my head. And then a lot of things go through my head when I'm running, good memories and things like that. So, it helps massively.
Other than the marathon, what's next on your plan?
sorry, it's got a bit dark there.
All right, you're fine.
So, you seem to be other than running.
And so, other than marathon running, what's next? Because you talked about the ultra at the end of the year. What is your ultimate goal?
Obviously, well, my princess wife, Jason, got me to sign up for a... I don't know why. I give in to him. He's like, oh, we'll sign up for this. Right, okay, I'll sign up for it. So we'll signed up from Glasgow to Edinburgh. I think. Yeah, so we've got that. I think it's October. Again, if it's not for Jason, I wouldn't even know when it is. I'm guessing October. But
I think it is, yeah, because I was down last year at that time.
Yeah, so we've got that in October. And I'm going to think, see, he's going to start training. He's obviously got his hamstring injury at the weekend. And he's obviously a bit disheartened with that. But once that's back to himself, he's going to start doing the training. As for myself, I'll just continue to do my runs. As long as I'm fit, I'll run it. Like, I do believe that there's three different medals, gold, silver, bronze. I'm coming out with a gold medal. Like, they disrespect the MDL. Listen, crossing that finish line is an achievement for everybody, but I believe the top 100 get a gold. And I think Jimmy done it, or he's done it a couple of times, and he's got that gold. So Jimmy's got a gold. I want a gold.
Did Gary get a gold?
Yeah, I think he did. Gary's,
I think Gary got a gold.
That's another one. So I think I met Gary at Glenogle for the first time. We were sitting in this wee lodge, and they were sitting talking, and first ever ultra, like, I'd never run that distance before, and they were like, what time are you going for? I was like, oh, I don't know, but me and Jason were just out for dinner, and some random guy was having dinner with his wife, and he was like, oh, I'm going for 4:30. So I went, well, I'm going to get 4:30, because if he can get it, I can get it. There's no difference between me and him. And got Gary, and they were looking at me, like, they're thinking, this guy's no right. If somebody can do it, then I can do it. So, yeah.
I mean, you've proved so much without going to the extremes that some other people feel that they have to go to. So I fully believe that you will come away with that gold.
Oh, 100%.
On the 5th of October.
Yeah, I actually need to look at it. Like, I've not, like, they've seen there's so many drop-off bags, and I've got no clue. Like, again, going back to Jason, if it wasn't for Jason, I wouldn't know what to take to these ultras and things like that. I just walk up, but I'll need to pay some attention, because I think it's like 97 kilometers.
It's something daft. It's not the distance they say it is, though. It's like something else. I can't mind who was talking to that about last week. And yeah, it is far and beyond what they say. But 5th of October, you're coming away with a gold. Fingers crossed the weather is nowhere near as bad as it was last year. So I think we'll see a reappearance of the alphas, whether it's the ones, twos, or threes.
It's the canal, so it'll probably be the twos. I'm loving the threes on the canal. Probably
the even though the ones canal are your favourite?
I'll go. They're looking a bit battered and bruised now, so I think I'll go the twos on the canal. But I think we've got the Glasgow 10K in a few weeks as well. So I've literally just signed up for that today. So yeah, that's what's next.
Big things there.
Sorry?
Are you expecting big things there, or are you gonna take it as a social event and just go with the flow?
10K. I'm just gonna run it. get the social side afterwards.
Yeah.
So I'll go out and just try and run as fast as I can.
Fast as you can, so you can get the beers in first.
That's it. Well, watch what I'm saying there, but I'll try and go as fast as I can, and just hopefully a lot of Newton gang will be there as well. So it'll be good to see all of them. But I didn't really get much time with them on Sunday, which I was a bit disappointed with, obviously, with the weather. He's just getting back up the road, so hopefully.
Jesus sakes, yeah.
Yeah.
And then finally, we're keeping our fingers crossed. Competition obviously finishes on Friday, which is today when the podcast comes out.
Yes, that could be a good job for me.
We're keeping our fingers crossed for you, because we spoke about this and pretty sure that you could deliver some phenomenal results there, given the type of course that it is, and that it doesn't feel like, when you're going in the flow, it does not feel like 7K. And that's maybe something we might have to get you in at if you don't win at some point.
Even if I don't win, I think obviously we can look at it as well. Jason bigged up, even though he's got terrible weather last year, Jason bigged up hugely last year. And it did. It looked like you had an amazing time. There were so many up there, and you all had a good laugh, and you've done some amazing times and some amazing running. So it would definitely be a good thing to all get together and maybe tick that box.
Maybe get Jace up as well, because that's the only time of the day it stopped raining when he appeared, ran around, stopped raining, and then he buggered off and it started raining again.
A wee sunshiner.
Listen, for your sakes, it's the 24th and 25th of August, so there's plenty of time. You could use it as a training event for October.
There we go, yes.
Spot on. Right. I think that's everything, though, AB. I tried to power through as much as possible. I'm looking at the time and going, slightly longer than usual, but I've genuinely loved speaking to you and just like reminiscing for your sakes about some of these events. And you might have forgotten about the innocent half at that time, yeah. but the Northern Ninth place, but you remember the time.
Yeah.
So you genuinely have a love for running.
Oh, I do. I love it. And I think, obviously, the community is massive now. They're so, on Sunday, I'm not sure every day, but I remember seeing, Elodie and Giznat on the run, and it was amazing hearing all these people cheering you on. And listen, if I can do it, then anybody can do it. So get the running shoes out and get it done.
You're way too humble, mate. You're way too humble.
Not at all.
Right. Normal stuff, how to finish off. Where can people find you? I know I've shouted you and told people to follow you in the past. Where can they find you?
Yeah, so obviously Instagram, AB McCracken on Instagram. If you want to see how I'm getting on, just give me a follow and also give you a follow back. And you can see how the spicy runs are coming on, as Ian's calling them these days.
What about your podcast? Are you not going to shout that out?
No, well, sorry, I better shout out. So, yeah, so the Insta's Runner, you've got the Insta's Runner's Roundup. We're actually doing an Edinburgh Marathon cover late on Sunday. So look out for that on Instagram. And, yeah, it's going really well. The boys are smashing it.
And yourself. I am loving the well, it's only been the two episodes and so far,
yeah.
But I've loved
it. We're getting there. Yes, but Insta's Runner's Roundup, how you go on and give it a link and a follow.
Definitely. I'll be tagging that for you. Well, thank you very much for joining me tonight, mate. That's been spot on. And as I say, it's just been a delight. I think that time's just flown by. And there you go. It just shows you thought there wasn't very much to talk about. And there's been so much.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on. If anybody listens to it, then I appreciate that. Like, it means a lot to me. I genuinely don't know why people want to listen to me, but listen, thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me on. I really, really do appreciate it.
It's been perfect.
Hope to see you shortly. And good luck with the upcoming runs.
Thank you very much.
Way, way, way too humble. A serious pleasure to have AB on finally. We had a great pre and post interview chat, and he is exactly as I said, he is in person. He's super affable and just a genuinely nice, friendly guy. It does also help that he's a really good looking guy, even if it did help me feel really inadequate, not only just with my running, with how amazingly fast he is without really super trying other than pushing himself, but in the beauty department as well, looking at that face on Zoom. I would love it though if you could all let AB know how much you enjoyed that one. He's such a strong runner, producing such strong finishes, purely doing what he loves, running. There's no faff, there's no fuss. He is the quintessential everyday stunner. He's just a bloody quick one, that's what he is. Righto, let's start wrapping things up for another week. Thanks as always for downloading and listening to the podcast today. It really is always going to be the best way you can show your support, but I'd never turn my nose up at a quick share with your family and friends, if nothing more than for the guests that I've had on. But don't forget to tag back to the page so I can share it on our stories and just show my appreciation to you guys more than anything else as well. If you would like to show your physical support for the podcast, we do have a partnership with Twisted Running. I say it every week. I'm going to try and cut it back a little bit, but we do have a partnership for t-shirts. You can hop on over to the Twisted Running page or the website. You can find the link on either our website, thepoint99podcast.com, or via their own Instagram page, which you should really have dropped a like as well, but you'll find a link straight to us there. Their quality is really good. I buy my own t-shirts, and I know that some of our past guests have got the t-shirts as well and speak really highly of them when I'm speaking to the guys. The show is available on all your major podcast platforms, apart from Google Podcasts. That's not a thing anymore. Just in case you've maybe blinked and missed it and you think that it's lost, it just doesn't exist. You can find the episodes though on YouTube Podcasts. That's our newest one. You will also have them on YouTube themselves as they generate a nice little graphic video, but otherwise it's like Samsung, it's Apple, it's Spotify, and we also have an inbuilt player on our website as well. Finally, we're on both Instagram and Facebook, even though it's not really Facebook too much. I do most of my posting on Instagram because that's where most of the interaction is. You just have to search the Point 99 podcast if you'd like to follow what I'm doing over there. You can get in contact via that page's messages, or you can get into my own DMs at Mr_Steve_runs, comment on any of the posts, and I will also drop you a message if you want that way as well. You can email me at thepoint99podcast@gmail.com if you do want to send me an email and get in contact. But that being said, I can't thank you enough for tuning in today. If you've made it this far, you are a gorgeous human being. Big hearts, guys. I do really appreciate everyone who's made it this far. Until the next episode, one that might just break new ground for the podcast, stay safe. Enjoy your runs, and you will hear from me soon.